We're doing Jewish history, and we had learned the story about a king that asked the Jew to open the grave of Yechezkel, the prophet. He said, I want to see him. I heard he did miracles, and the Jew said, let me give you advice. Why don't you go see the grave of Baruch ben Neriah, who was his disciple? He was also a prophet. King said, okay, it's a good idea. So the king summoned his council, said, let's go see the prophet Baruch ben Neriah. And when they started opening the grave, everyone that touched it dropped dead. And there was an old man there, a Muslim, and he said, my master, the king, this was a Jew. And the Jews learn his Torah. So you have to tell the Jews to open his grave. And that's what the king did. So the Jews said, give us 3 days to do tshuva, that Hashem should forgive us. And so they took 3 days, and they declared a public fast. And people, everyone tried to do tshuva, people prayed, people gave charity. And after 3 days, the king summoned the Jews. They should open the grave so that he could see the prophet Baruch ben Neriah. And so the king went to the grave site with his nobles. And the Jews opened the grave, and they were not harmed. And they found a stone coffin. And his body hadn't decayed. It was as though he had just recently passed away. So the king said, it's not right that he should be buried here next to Yechezkel. Take him to the city. And they started moving, and after they traveled 2,000 footsteps, so they couldn't move the ark, and so they thought it got too heavy or something, so the king brought more camels and more donkeys and more horses, and they couldn't make the ark move. And the Jew who had started all this, when the king came to him and asked him to show him the grave of Yechezkel, he said, go see Baruch ben Neriah. So the Jew said to the king, you know, maybe in his lifetime Baruch ben Neriah has to be buried over here. So they buried him on that spot, and they built a Beis Medrash right there over his grave. And when the king saw that Baruch ben Neriah hadn't rotted, his body remained intact, and the clothing he was wearing remained intact, so he said, let's go see the grave of Muhammad. I want to see Muhammad's body. And they opened the grave, and when they saw the decay and everything, he and his servants went and converted. And they said, the Torah is true. And
Muhammad was buried in Israel?
He writes over here, Makawau. I don't know where that is. Mecca, maybe?
Mecca. Yeah, of course. He's buried there.
I don't know. That's what he writes. So he and his servants converted. So the grave of Baruch ben Neriah is a walking distance. It's 2,000 amos from Yechezkel. And by the grave of Yechezkel, there was a custom that people would give charity in order to buy candles and light them by the grave. And whenever people would put money there, it was known that that money was dedicated to buy candles in honor of Yechezkel the Navi. And people wouldn't take it. And when a person would leave money there, if a person would forget money there, so no one would touch it, it wouldn't budge until the person came back. If he died, his relatives would take it. But there was a lot of people were careful to be honest there. And the rivers by the river Kvar, the burial plot is like Yechezkel had his prophecy by Nahar Kvar, by the river Kvar. So that's where he was buried. And that leads us to the year 3352. We're holding 14 years after the destruction of the temples. After we've had an overview of Yechezkel, we come back to Yechezkel's prophecy. 14 years after the destruction.
In Tel Aviv?
I don't think so. So Yechezkel has the prophecy that the temple will be rebuilt. That's the third building Yechezkel actually sees. What Yechezkel prophesizes about is not the second Beit HaMikdash. He sees a prophetic vision which would be the third Beit HaMikdash. 28 years have passed since the exile of Yochanan, 14 years since the destruction of the temple. Now Yechezkel passed away in the lifetime of Nebuchadnezzar. He was buried in Babylon between the Euphrates and Nahar Kivar. And the next king after Nebuchadnezzar was Evil-Merodach, his son. And Evil-Merodach released Yochanan from prison, and Yochanan came with 35,000 Jews, and they went to the grave of Yechezkel, and they built a dome over it. He says, till today, in his day, you could see the dome with all the beautiful engravings over the grave of Yechezkel. This was around Babylon. I don't know what today exists. We'd have to go to Iraq and see. He says in his day, that's only 500 years ago, you could see next to the Euphrates the gravesite of Yechezkel with the dome that was erected. So when Yochanan was released from prison, he went and built this dome over the grave of Yechezkel. And they made an academy there. And over there, there were 60 towers. And between the towers, there were shuls. And in Yechezkel's grave, there was also a shul. And that whole area was given the nickname, the area of Yechezkel and Yochanan. That was the nickname that area was given. Baruch Benaria was a distance down, we said, 2,000 footsteps away. And around there, Evil Merodach gave them orchards, and they had fruits growing there, and Yochanan lived off of that. And the Jews were known that they owned that area near the grave, and people from afar would come and daven there, and they'd have a Sefer Torah there, and the Sefer Torah was a Sefer Torah that was written by Yechezkel the Navi. And people would read there by that shul over his grave. And they'd have a big academy there with a lot of books, and the books would, now when we say books, we mean scrolls, parchments, from the time of the first and second temple. And it used to be common practice among the sheikhs that they would fund these academies. The Muslim sheikhs would fund the academies by Yechezkel's grave. That's what he's bringing was common practice. And they would make it lavish, the Beis Medrash of Yechezkel, to the point that they would line it with gold. And he says everyone knew that was the grave of Yechezkel, even the Muslims respected it. He brings here different miraculous stories. We'll leave that for your own reading. And that's what he tells us about Yechezkel. Okay, so we're up to the year 3358.